You are tuned to KDWA AM 1460, FM 97.7, and this is Community In-Depth. I'm your host for this segment, Mike Rood, and I have in studio with me today Dakota County Commissioner Mike Slavik. Commissioner Slavik, welcome back to the studio.
Well, thank you.
In a previous segment, we talked a lot about budget numbers, and how the levy for the county will have a 0% increase this year, which is a good thing across the board. And in this segment, we're going to talk a little bit about what some of that budget has been used for, what some of the items that the board has recently acted upon to effect changes or make improvements or do what the county board needs to do. Mm-hmm. And one of the things we're going to start with, one of the things at the last meeting was reclassifying tax forfeited properties. And I know that sounds like kind of a dry subject, but it's important to the county. And let's go over that a little bit.
Thank you. It happens every year.
Right.
It's something we do every year, and it's probably something you never knew about, and it's kind of boring. So in essence, what happens is obviously they always say what you're going to do two things. You're going to pay taxes, and you're not going to be on this earth forever.
That's a nice way to put it.
Yes. And this is one of those things where if you don't pay your taxes on the property you own, eventually it goes back to the government. And in these scenarios, if you would not make property tax payments for 3 years straight, it actually goes into a classification of tax forfeiture. And then it is the county's responsibility to go through a process to classify them as tax forfeited properties, and then determine if they actually have a purpose for, like, right of way for a road or a government purpose. So then government kind of gets the first right, you know, state, it goes state, then it goes counties, then it goes cities and townships. So everybody gets their chance to see if they're interested in it. And if they reject it, then it goes up for public auction,
okay,
and the general public can buy that. So there was about a dozen plus properties that have fit that criteria for 2021. And so the first public hearing on that is just to notify that these were the properties that have not paid taxes in 3+ years.
Okay.
And then after that point, the next step is you work with the governments to see if there's any interest in them. And you also can work with some of the property owners. There is kind of one last chance or the adjacent property owner that might be able to do that. They'll, purchase it at what the minimum bid is. So they're no longer at a point where they can pay the back taxes on it and get it back for.
So
it's officially been through that state process and ruled that they can't just go and pay the back taxes and get it. Now they have to pay market value to get it. But they the first right does go to either government, and then after that goes to the former owner or the adjacent owners. So they'll have that.
Sure.
And then if none of them have interest at paying the market minimum bid, then the next step is to public auction. So where we're at now is it's going to spend another month and a half going through those processes, and then it will go back for whatever is left over will be declared for a auction, and we'll do that at our October meeting, and then the auction usually is in November.
Okay, so we're not talking so much about rewording how they're classified.
Nope.
You're just going through the process of the properties for the year that meet the criteria.
Yeah, to find a new owner, basically. So these are people who never paid their taxes, and it's going to go to a public auction. And some of these are, end up being like full houses, or not typically, because usually a bank will take over that part in there. But if your house is paid for and you don't pay your taxes, you could go and lose your $300,000+ house for a matter of $7,000 in taxes if you didn't pay them for that. So that's one of the aspects of that. But many of these are just like a sliver of a property. So it's like a 0.03 that was connected to your, and you never even knew that was a weird utility easement or something on there. So
a lot of
those cases in there that somebody never paid it because they didn't, they bought the house and they got one property ID and didn't know there was another one connected that was for $7 a year in taxes or whatever. And so a lot of those cases, they end up going and you work it out. Well, yeah, it should have been in there. You pay the value of what that is, and then you pay to merge it into one property so this never happens again.
Okay.
There's been some hunting land, and there's been
Yeah, yeah.
Over the years, in fact, a great business down in Farmington ended up picking up the land. They owned this catering company, and there was some land along Highway 3 that the previous owner just walked away from. And they were able to go in and buy that property for at the public auction and expand their business. And they're now over 100 employees. And they run out of Farmington, and they ended up getting this land through the tax forfeiture process.
And that's good. That's so one person's misfortune can become another person's treasure somehow.
Absolutely. You know, another thing, just some examples for those who know about our community development agency, like our senior housing that we have, like Mississippi Terrace or Rivertown Court in Hastings. In back in the 90s, many of those senior buildings across the county were ended up being the tax forfeiture property that they'd walked away from. And then as government, the CDA took it and was able to go and build affordable housing for seniors on that property. So that's CDA looks at that stuff too. So
all right, excellent. And you said that the next step for those properties is it the public auction then in October, you said?
So the public auction will be, so this is going to be the declaration of those properties by the county board. So.
And is there descriptions of those properties listed on the county website where they are?
It is on the county website, and that as well. Anyone wants to go through our meeting process, we had all that packet there. But, yeah, it's right on the county website.
All right. One of the other things that the county does a very good job at, I think, is our county parks and park reserves and things like that. And as I'm looking at our information today, pardon me, the county board just approved some improvements at Lebanon Hills, something to do with expanding access at one of the entries for campers.
Sure. So to our campground, it was the campground road was not adequate. It was in the budget to go in and improve that. So, you know, campers are getting bigger, and how do they fit? And the original proposal of the budget was just to really improve the road to get into the campground. Mm-hmm. And then there were a few extra alternates on there connecting the campground to the to the trail system along the county road. There was right now they're gravel pads that the campers are on, and they were able to pave them.
Wow.
What ended up happening is they had 10 amazing bids, and you actually had some really large road contractors that this was kind of a sweet spot. They could get it done in about still get it done this fall. So
sure.
we ended up approving McNamara Construction out of Dakota County to go in and do this project. And the original project plus all of the extra additional alternates that we were just talking about came in at the price of what they thought just the road was going to be. So it turned out great that we actually we got some great players, but we ended up getting a road contractor to do this project, and they've got the right equipment and they'll probably do a project and get it done in a matter of 2 weeks.
It almost sounds like a 2-for-1 deal. you have that access, and then the camper pads.
Yep, yeah.
2-for-1. You got to love that.
So it actually came in. It's nice to hear some good stories, and we've had a lot of road projects with McNamara Construction or McNamara Contracting. So they've been a good partner over the years. So I think that they always seem to look in, since it's in their backyard.
And, right. Exactly.
Quite a few of my constituents work there, so it's always nice when they're. When they get the contract down in the southern part of the county, they're like, "Yeah, I get to work on my own road." So, it worked out well. But you know, that's that was in our master plan of just every year we have improvements, and that was one of them for Lebanon that we were doing, and that coincides with last year's major projects that we had at Whitetail Woods and
Lake Bilsby.
Yeah, yep. So we did about $11 million in improvements at both of those, and they will actually, with COVID, they did the work. Parts of the park were shut down, and then people just started using it, and they never got to have a celebration. So in September and October, we'll be having some kind of open house celebrations of those now fully opened parks. So on September 25th, we'll be doing Lake Bilsby.
Okay.
And that's just the Saturday afternoon. There, we'll go in and have everybody kind of check out to see what's been doing there, including something that was an add-on, and that is a walkway from Lake Bilsby all the way down to the river below the dam. So you can see a lot of people who are portaging. They're coming down the Cannon River from Northfield. They go up, they go into Lake Bilsby, they get out, carry their canoe or their kayak, and they basically were trying to figure out a way to get to the other side of the waterfall and the dam.
Right.
And So the county went and built a switchback, and now you can actually go and go down and literally touch the water below the dam. So nice. It really turned out nice. It's been a very popular on that. So both of that will be in September, and then in October on the 14th of October as a Tuesday afternoon, we'll showcase and highlight all of the great things at Whitetail Woods,
which includes those new prairie camper cabins.
We have two new camp, as well as the very expanded playground. It's a nature playscape that about quadrupled in size, as well as a paved loop around the lake.
Nice. Very nice.
Empire Lake. So,
and I also understand that going back to Lake Bilsby, the work is still continuing on the hydroelectric plant and the dam.
Yeah.
Is there anything to report there?
Yeah. So the equipment's there. We're still, it's creeping up to now about a $35 million project, which started as a 12.
Wow.
But so the price keeps going up, and a lot of that is related to inflation and labor. We're just, the steel is still incredibly expensive. Fortunately, lumber started to go down, but, we ripped it off the powerhouse because we couldn't get the new turbines in and out with the old structure, so they just tore the whole thing off.
Right.
And then they're going to build a new powerhouse with the new turbines on. So.
And that's still slated to be next summer? Next
2020,
fall?
Yeah, in 2022.
All right.
So, and that will quadruple the amount of power produced out of the turbines.
And where does that power grid go?
So with us putting the new ones in, we were with Xcel Energies, who we sold the power to. So we have a couple options in there. We may sell it to Xcel. We may actually put in a line connector and sell it to Dakota Electric, or we might just sell it on the open market. So we've got all options in there to look at that. And the county board has not made a decision on that.
Sure. And do you know what the megawatt of the generator will be when it's all done? Is it going to be like a 10 megawatt?
I think it's 4, but the number of times that I've testified before the legislature asking for money, I should know that by heart. But I can tell you what year the dam was built and how old the old turbines were and the whole history, but I couldn't tell you that. I just know it's 4 times the electricity currently produced.
Yeah, okay. Excellent. We also, at the board meeting, this past board meeting, you discussed housing jail inmates from Dakota County with Wright County. In our previous segment, you mentioned that there is a definite need for personnel and deputies with the Sheriff's Department, and that has caused an issue where even though the county jail isn't at capacity, you don't have the resources to properly house the inmates that you have. Talk about that a little bit.
Yeah, so all around across the board, our employment, we're hiring. And particularly, some of our entry-level positions, we're getting hundreds, if not thousands, of people apply. But some of our more particular technical positions, we're only getting a handful. Mm-hmm. And that includes our deputies, but it also includes our correction officers, who are the individuals who run the jail.
Mm-hmm.
So our jail has a capacity of 240 residents. And we're in that 180, 190 right now, and that's about as much as we can handle with the staff we currently have. Now, pre-COVID, we had enough staff to be full 240, and we were about 240 as a reminder, of course, that we do not house women. Women go up to Ramsey County.
Right.
So we do not have any women in our Dakota County jail. This is just men. But we've been running into this thing, and so the sheriff came to us with some other cost savings of not having these positions filled, and tried to work with his other county jail partners to see who could potentially house some of our inmates. And they tried our normal partners. Normally we try to partner with Washington and Ramsey and Scott and Goodhue.
Sure.
And none of them had any extra capacity for us, but one of our other partners, Wright County, had extra space in their jail.
Mm-hmm.
So we are hoping it's only going to be about a 2-month time, so for the next couple of months, but we have it potentially up to the end of this year.
Mm-hmm.
As we hire the correction deputies, get them trained in, we can get back up to that capacity. But in the interim, the county board did authorize using the savings to move to inmates up to Wright County over in Buffalo.
All right.
Yeah. Significant savings on that, by the way.
I was just going to ask about that. Yeah, while we were getting ready for the show, you mentioned that the cost of housing the inmates there was a significant savings.
Yeah. So it's $55 a day to house in Wright County jail.
Okay.
We pay $64 to house our women up in Ramsey County,
mm-hmm.
and we're about that same number to house in Dakota County. So,
okay.
Of course, the challenge is you're driving an hour and a half to Buffalo,
sure.
and then back when you're transporting our jail inmates. But the truth, there is some savings on the daily costs on that with that part in there. So we will be kind of evaluating all of that. But I think our hope is if you're thinking of something in law enforcement and corrections, there's some great opportunities to work for the Dakota County Jail. And quite honestly, we have a number of Hastings people I know who started out in as a corrections officer and then have since moved on to deputies. So
mm-hmm.
if maybe this also can be that nice ground to understand the county, how things work, and
sure.
and get that way. And as I said, yeah. employment is pretty challenging, not just in corrections and law enforcement, but particularly in those two fields.
All right. We are about out of time here at this point. With about a minute left or so, is there anything else that is going on at the county level that you want our listeners to be aware of?
Well, I think it's just where we're going to spend a lot in our next 3 months is going to be on the American Recovery dollars that the federal government is giving to cities, counties, schools. And for
mm-hmm.
that is we are in the process of figuring out about $84 million that we will be spending over the next 5 years.
Okay.
And our board is really trying to go. We don't want to go and start hiring a bunch of people because then when the money runs out, we have to put that burden on the taxpayer. So we're really looking for kind of the next big idea to try to make government better and simpler. And also do with that with one-time money. So if anyone has any ideas that they want to share, please reach out. You know, mm-hmm. There's some push to look at ways to potentially cut down on our utility bills with some energy efficiencies and maybe some net zero of certain buildings.
Sure,
and
sure.
Is there things we can do there that will save taxpayers for years and years and generations if we don't have to pay electric bills or we don't have to pay heating bills. So we're open to anything, but if you have any ideas, please feel free to reach out to me, email, phone, Facebook, or Twitter.
And all of that information for contacting Commissioner Slavik or any of the county commissioners for that matter is on dakotacounty.us. And frequent that website a lot. There's good information there, all kinds of things going on.
Mm-hmm.
I would like to thank my guest for this segment of Community In-Depth, Commissioner Mike Slavik from Dakota County. Thank you for coming in.
Thank you. Always great to be here.
It's always good to have you. You are listening to KDWA. And this is Community In-Depth, KDWA AM 1460, FM 97.7.
The strength of our country hasn't just been won on the battlefield. It's won every day in our communities when we come together in our toughest times. For over 100 years, the American Legion has been strengthening communities by providing life-saving help and support to our veterans and neighbors during our nation's toughest times.
It's what the Legion's all about.
We are the American Legion, veterans strengthening America. To learn how you can help, visit legion.org.